Oscar Wilde said, "When the gods wish to punish us, they answer our prayers." Commentator Annabel Gurwitch disagrees.
The initial wave of flowers delivered to mark the birth of my son were accompanied by cards that read, "We can't wait to meet him." But only moments after his arrival, he was rushed into the first of over a dozen reconstructive surgeries required to save his life. A second wave of cards arrived announcing, "We're praying for you." In the neonatal unit, an African-American mother given to loud outbursts and a taciturn Hasidic woman were inseparable. We called the loud lady's son the Broviac baby because there was a lot of to-do about his Broviac. I didn't know what a Broviac was, but whatever it wasn't good. The Hasidic mother had given birth to premature twins, Rachel and her brother, Mr. Frankel, who, in keeping with Orthodox tradition, wasn't going to receive a name until after his circumcision. At 3 pounds, Mr. Frankel wasn't doing so great. The mothers would pray together. They asked me to pray with them. I politely declined. Pray? Pray to whom? If there's a God to pray to, why would he let this happen? "God doesn't give you anything you can't handle," everyone told me. But that couldn't be true, I reasoned, because if there's a God, surely he would know that I'm the last person cut out for this kind of thing. I am not good in medical situations. That's why I became an actress, the furthest profession I could think of from the medical field. In fact, once on one of those TV medical dramas, I was able to effect an extremely authentic anxiety attack in the face of abdominal surgery purely because I am not good in medical situations. Of course, if I believed that prayer might help, then it would only follow that the absence of prayer might have a deleterious effect on my son's health. So that's when I started praying. Praying for the health of each organ in my son's body. "We'll be praying for you," the nurses said as we packed up Ezra's tubes and clamps to take him home. Once we got there, we entered the Kafkaesque labyrinth of home health care workers. Sometimes they showed up, sometimes they just didn't feel like coming. They were often unable to negotiate his feeding tube so he wasn't getting fed, but they were praying. The veracity of their prayers both frightened and intimidated me. Not to be outdone by our nurses, I went on a campaign to enlist as many people as possible in the prayer effort. Ezra's name began circulating on prayer circles all over the country, and my cousins arranged for his name to be called out in synagogues as far away as Argentina. As it turns out, God must have been busy elsewhere, because at 3, new symptoms appeared and Ezra was diagnosed with a debilitating spinal cord condition. Thank God we caught it in time to have corrective surgery. And in another stunning misdiagnosis, we learned that he has only one less than functional kidney, raising the specter of transplant. All in all, I'm very grateful. Though I did learn that a Broviac is an intravenous line surgically implanted in the heart, I'm not sure if the little Broviac boy ever even made it home. And I'll never know if Mr. Frankel lived long enough to receive a name. Lately, I've tried to introduce the notion of prayer to my son. At night, we'll lie in bed and I'll say, "Let's pray for the health of everyone we love," and we'll list names. I ask my rambunctious 5-year-old if there's any other prayer he'd like to add. He says, "Yes, Mommy, I'm praying for a Batman." "Good for you, Ezra," I say. I know his prayers will be answered.
Annabel Gurwitch lives in Los Angeles.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.